Hey, how's it going?
hey, one viewer. Okay, I did a check.
No, we got it done.
No, we have one view. I believe we have one view. That's it for every video that comes out. Okay, so I have a theory. This person is either someone who knows me and is a family member, like my mom, or I doubt it because she doesn't listen to this, right? Because she has other things to listen to.
More important
And
stuff.
yeah. Or it could be an enemy to
Oh.
see my downfall.
You have enemies?
Maybe I of course I have enemies. Everyone has enemies, right?
I don't
It
know.
could be
I didn't
a
even think
super
about
fan who's super inspired and wants to be the next, whatever entrepreneur and find meaning and inspiration and maybe some knowledge from this, and they're actually studying this, which is great.
Yeah. Which would be awesome, actually.
So I'm not sure, but I'm gonna treat it like that, right? Because I know I have no like real base of like users, because that's not what this is about. This is about, again, a podcast about entrepreneurship, the hard journey, trying to make a difference. That genius is everywhere,
But
but
opportunity isn't.
opportunity is not. So just the struggle of trying to start it in America and how I made it in the past, but also how we're currently trying to make it now. And I just talked to Roberto, right, about some stuff from Masterity and how it was really pretty blunt, right? I said, look, you guys, we gotta work together, and here's what it takes. And then we discuss about what it takes and how we can bring it
Exactly.
up a notch.
And it's fine. I mean, like, it's not like nothing personal and anything. So it's like, it's important things that need to be done. Like, having an honest conversation about information and all these things that are happening or not happening has to happen.
Yeah. So when you, let's say people pass your test and you really want to work with them, how do you actually build a team? A team that can execute? And then once you can build a team that can execute, then it's easy for you to execute. You just have to basically enable them, guide them, challenge them sometimes, right? And say, hey, why aren't you doing this? Or tell me why you're doing this. And if I were running the store, what would I do? And basically make analogies so they can understand, and then try to basically teach them as a mentor instead of saying, hey, you did this wrong, and say, you suck, to say, well, here's what I see, because I've done this before, and kind of say how you have experience. And this is your experience. You've been in the shoes of someone like in your position, and here's what happened to me, and here's what I learned, and here's why you should avoid that. And to avoid that, you have to do these things, right? You have to mentally put yourself in this perspective, and you have to change this way, because that's how I got better. And so how you guide your employees, how you guide your friends, there's actually a good way to do it and a bad way to do it, right?
And it depends on the kind of person as well. I mean, like, because if the receiving end is very, like, either touchy or doesn't understand the big picture, it just complicates the whole communication process. Like,
Yeah, and
imagine you have
actually
to,
how you.
like, be walking on eggshells while you tell me things. Like,
Yeah.
it's not gonna happen. Like, it's not gonna work.
Well, I went to an all boys school. So that's what we talked. That's how we talked. So basically, something about my childhood, I went to Rock Springs, Lambton. Yeah. So we're used to it, right? So we used to rib each other. Males are very aggressive. There has to be an alpha or groups of alpha, and then the cliques and stuff like that.
That is what it
So
is.
you ever
Yeah,
watch
definitely.
Lord of the Flies?
Yes, I did.
Well,
That's
I
a
guess
good
all
movie.
boys schools have to read Lord of the Flies, but I believe it was a cautionary tale of what would happen to all boys. If they landed on a deserted island and they crash landed and all the adults are gone, and I guess young boys were free to roam an island and run their own kingdom, what would happen? You
It
remember
went
that book?
south pretty fast. Like,
So what
I actually
happened?
I watched the movie.
Timing.
Well, you had, like, these two, like, straight up, like, you had different skills that came out within the group, and the group split, like, from the hunters and who was it, like, Charlie or the other kid, and the hunters ended up with everything because at the end of the day they were the ones feeding the whole crew, the whole group of kids. And you had, like, the power struggle and everything. So, God, it's a good book if you guys want to read it, or if you can't read it, watch the movie.
But basically, this the everlasting human story that in a stressful situation, you show your true colors. And some people showed their colors that they wanted to be aggressive, they wanted to be in charge. Some people wanted to be peaceful, wanted to cooperate. But ultimately, the bad guys were going to kill the good guys, and they barely lived. And it was an epic story of like survival for the good guys, really, because the bad guys were basically like, they had weapons, they had aggression, they had a plan, they wanted to basically kill the good guys, and the good guys are like, hey, come on, let's be friends, let's, you know, like, get along.
Exactly, we can.
And they had no plan for what happens, and then they obviously had to come together and hopefully survive and overcome the bad guys.
They don't though. Like, how does it end? Like, remember Piggy dies? I don't know. Like, I'm sorry if I'm spoiling anybody. Like, at this point, it's like a 40-year-old book. But Piggy dies because of an accident, and then and then at the end, it's just like kind of the adults show up and fix the whole mess.
That's a great thing about the book. Mm-hmm. It doesn't tell you how it ends. You have to imagine how it ends.
Yeah.
If the adults did not show up, how do you think it would have ended?
Well, they were like, if I remember correctly, like in the movie, because I didn't read the book, the last good guy that was one of the hunters gets drawn out to the beach and just like escaping for his life, and then all the others, like more feral kids, were chasing him.
So we went back to jungle. So civilization died.
Yeah.
Cooperation died. And the laws of the jungle took over.
And there, if you're not the strongest, then that's it.
So I think that's the cautionary tale of a startup too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in rough times right now, right? So we're basically, last episode, we left off where we had three chances with three investors left for Folk Labs.
Yeah.
To get investment. If we didn't get investment, we would go out of business. This is real. This is really happening, guys. January 27th, 2023. I think, how delayed is this YouTube podcast?
2 or 3 days. No, actually, I've been posting.
Did you launch it?
Yeah. Like, just the time that it takes me to do the production, render it, and then I schedule it for like Monday, Tuesday. So it's over the weekend.
So it's like a small time operation, right? So just us two, just as a hobby. Like, we're not making money on this, obviously, right? Or PR or anything like that. It's kind of like just friends, just chatting.
We could, though. Like, I've actually been thinking of pushing this a bit more on Instagram and see what's up, like, see who shows up.
No, I think what's better is just to do it and then not have anyone care about it. And then we'll be more honest.
Okay.
And then don't worry about it. And at some point, if something happens where we make it big, this would be kind of nice for us. That's all I care about. Our kids, if they watch this, like, hey, this is pretty cool. See my our parents.
Yeah, this is what our dads used to be doing back in the days.
Or maybe the enemy that's watching this, or the best friend that's watching this, or the family member that's watching this, or the super fan that's watching this. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, and either way, like, we're going to get a ton of, we have a ton of video time for all the deep fakes that they can do about us.
Yeah, and maybe what the better one is to do, like, segment later on, like what happened last year, and like a 1 hour thing, and it's more exciting because now you have the temporal kind of aspect of it, where instead of waiting a whole week to see what would happen. So I'll tell you what happened last week.
Go ahead.
So we had three chances. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Did I tell you? Okay. We had, again, a summary. The number one person I thought would say yes, right? That was a person who, basically, they said, verbally said yes, and they needed to go and do a lab visit for them to basically make a decision.
Yep.
They did a lab visit yesterday. I'll let you know what happened there.
Good.
There's a VC that basically wanted to invest, and they actually made us fill a form to get the process going, I guess, to be evaluated, which I guess they would have been evaluating us, but I guess to make an official evaluation of yes or no, meaning it's imminent. We haven't heard yet, so I can't update you there.
How long does it usually take?
Did I tell you last time? Did I give you an update on the third person last time?
No, we just talked about all the options that we had, and then that was it. Like, there was one guy that seemed like the most promising one. It's his... who wanted to be all in. He wanted to be like the only investor. Your friend. confusion.
Yeah. So no. So he basically wanted to refer me to some other investors.
Okay.
And he, I think there's some delay, but anyway, in terms of the data feed, I can't hear you, Roberto, that well. I didn't hear what you said the last minute or two, but the third one was the ones from Asia, and they were valuing it. And they basically didn't understand how they can help, and if we can help in Asia, that'd be great. And then the technology was hard for them to evaluate, and so I'll bring closure to that one. That one's dead. That one, they said no firmly. It's not going to happen. Not because they didn't like the idea. It's just too early for them, because they have to actually see it working. They have to kind of see how they can help, and ultimately that one's gone. So we have basically one that's dead out of three, and then one that's pending. And then yesterday we had a lab visit happen. So I'll tell you the story. Okay. So what happened was today's Friday. Yesterday was Thursday. The person who was evaluating the decision had to come back from the country, from a trip abroad. And they on Monday scheduled a time, last Friday, I scheduled time with them to come on Thursday. I prepared the whole team. We made sure that we had everything in order. And we had basically been through basically the same Lord of the Flies situation that we just explained at the beginning of the show, right? Where we basically, for the last, I guess, almost a year, I think, we were supposed to get funding after we had exited this program called Urban X. So Urban X was a program where we had gone into this program. It's kind of like Y Combinator. It's a famous program in California called Y Combinator. But Urban X was based out of New York, but we did it remotely. And we actually had a good plan and some investors. So these investors had said, great, we'd like to invest.
Okay.
And then some of them backed out because of the economy and other reasons.
Mm.
And basically most of it was like, hey, we didn't really have it far enough maybe for them. So we kept going and grinding, and we were able to raise some money along the way and just survive. So we've actually raised some money in Republic like last couple of months that helped us get to this point. As well as a contract that we have from a real customer that actually paid us. So we actually earned $500,000 this year, actually, on actual revenue for the technology that we invented. So people were paying us to develop it further for the application. So we might continue that contract. There's a next phase that's going to happen soon, but there's a pause in between this phase and next phase. So we don't have that revenue anymore. But we do have these two investors. And even before this, like last month, we had an investor who said yes, but then the economic climate basically said, hey, no. We have to be more cautious, and we had to basically invest later stage, and we can't do you guys anymore. So that's where we had left it off, and I said, okay, this kind of sucks. And so we got to have this work perfectly. So I said to my team, okay, we're going to present this way, but ultimately it took a year to get to the strategy. But I think we had a perfect plan, okay? But it had to work. But I told my team, if this doesn't work at the end of January, in the next 2-3 weeks, you guys should look for another job. Okay. You guys should basically find another job, because I'm not sure how long we can keep this going. We got to shut this down, because you know we want to keep this team together, but we need a lot of funding to do that. And we have this plan that's great. We have a team that's ready to execute that plan, but we need someone to believe in us. But without this money, then we can't afford all these people. And I can also understand why you don't want to be part of a company that's not funded well, because you don't know what's going to happen next month and the month after. You have to kind of like take care of your family and your future as well.
There's definitely like a job security issue there that like it's hard to manage, especially like if you do have dependents. But if it's just you, you can kind of even suck it up and see how it goes and hope for the best in the end. Especially if you believe in the project, which is, I honestly don't get it. Like the project is really an amazing thing that I thought people were going to pounce on it, but.
No, they did. But I think it's sometimes bad luck, right? Sometimes the economy, for example, the stock market went down 35% last year. And a lot of people who had money in that lost money. And so they say, okay, what would you do when you lose money? You basically put in something safer. You put into things that you more and more guarantee. You want to put into things that will protect you and the safety of those around you first, right? So you don't want to do anything edge that's going to take 10 years, 8 years, that's skeptic, you know, skeptical, that's maybe it's going to work, 1 out of 100, but if it does, it might be fantastic. You understand, you're a very intelligent person. At the same time, you have to do what's right for you. And so the earth, you know, everyone's kind of like worried about the economy and inflation and all that stuff. And so people get caught in that, and that's okay. That's just, but you have to say, okay, who didn't get caught in that? So the two last standing players are people who are in the government. So this fund that we're talking to, they're actually associated with the government, right? And the government wants to help with the economy by creating jobs. So they passed a semiconductor bill in the U.S., the anti-inflation bill in the U.S. to basically create jobs by, you know, create green technology, like technology that we do basically, and encourage that. In Massachusetts in particular, they want to create something called the Green Corridor. They call it the Green Corridor. So to compete with Silicon Valley, okay, the Governor Healey is appointing a cabinet member called the Climate Czar or something. And their job is to basically make the state into the world capital for green technology. We already have robotics companies here. We have biotech companies here. We also have other companies like ours that do mm-hmm. like recycling and, you know, a cement. There's a cement company where they use, instead of high intensity heat to create cement, they use less energy. They have carbon capture technology here where companies are capturing carbon to save the environment. And a couple of weeks ago, the prince and the princess came here to give the Earthshot Prize. The Earthshot Prize is a prize for an idea that might help save the planet.
Okay.
And so we're in the perfect state. We're basically the green technology.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
Might happen here, right? So that's attractive to them. So when we got no from these other investors, the worst thing for you to do is get pissed off.
At the investors or as an investor?
No, yeah, I get pissed off too. I get pissed off for like a moment or two. And then I say, okay, put myself in their shoes. Why did they say no? And then if you're nice to them and you ask them nicely,
They'll tell you.
They actually will tell you why they say no. Because they're intelligent people. You have to assume they're intelligent people, right? So people would say no to us because maybe they believe in the tech in some situations, but they don't believe in the way to make money. Some people believe in the way to make money, but didn't believe in the tech. It was very odd. It was like one person's like, oh, this is obviously you can make money, but I'm not sure this tech works. If the tech works, then obviously we're going to make money. Then the other person's like, okay, I know the tech works, but I don't know if we're going to make money.
It's crazy. Like, just get them to compare notes. Like, why do you think this is okay and why don't you?
But this is from the inside. This is my thesis.
Yeah.
If you swap the two people and they were in the same fund or perspective and they looked at the same presentation, whatever, at that point,
yeah,
I think they would say the same thing they would have said earlier, right? It's not because they were dishonest. They just wanted to say no for a reason.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
They just like chose a nice way
to say no to themselves, to say no to you, because think about their position, right? These investors. The position of the investors is you have five people you can say yes to in your entire career, probably. Okay. The reason why is you may be part of a fund, like an investment fund.
Yeah.
The investment fund, every partner can make one decision, maybe two decisions a year, or a champion one or two a year. So that means you're getting married once or twice a year. It's like an episode of The Bachelor, right? A season of The Bachelor. The season of The Bachelor, you have 30 or whatever contestants that you talk to seriously.
A limited amount of roses.
And then you marry one or you give the ring to one.
Yeah. Okay.
Now The Bachelor is going to make crazy decisions about why they say no, because obviously it's crazy to say no to someone because you met them like 5 hours ago, and you have to one girl has to be eliminated immediately, right? So that's probably based on looks or something like that. So we passed the looks test probably, but we're probably like contestant number like 9, right? We made it to like number top 10. We made it to that, but number 9, and then so at some point, we're going to have to find the right show or the right bachelor. And it takes a long time to find the right bachelor because everyone has their perspective why they want to say no, right? And also at the same time, if you can prove yourself that you say something and then over the course of months, you actually achieve, accomplish it, right?
Yeah. But it's crazy. I mean, like, but then wouldn't that like affect the entire like scheduling of company creation? Because if you know that you only have 5 chances and you're at the beginning of January, so you have like the whole year left for these shots. then it would be like better to pitch something around like, I don't know, like April, May, because then they know they have their shots that they have, but it's not too soon or too late.
Okay, so depends on, it's a kind of dating show. You're right. It's kind of a dating show. You and investors, right?
Yeah.
So let's say you really like an investor or you like a person.
Yeah.
Or you like someone you want to date, right? And they're really into, I don't know, football. And you don't like watching football. But you can try it. And maybe you like watching football. And you realize, you know what? I'm actually pretty interested in football.
Yeah, it's better than it looks.
And I might like football. And you might want to change yourself. And say, you know what? Maybe football's not too bad. But it depends on what the advice is. If it's something that you want to try, then you try it. So let's say the advice is, okay, I don't understand how you make money, but I understand this way to make money. I don't understand how you like soccer, but I like football. If you're more like football, then maybe we can date. You know, because I grew up playing football. My family watches football for Thanksgiving. It's part of a tradition. If you don't like football, you can't be part of my life because we're really into football. So then you're like, okay, these guys don't like making money this way. They like making money this way. Does that make sense? So you might think, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to pitch soccer as something that when someone asks what sport I like, I say I like soccer. Why would you say you like soccer? Because everyone likes soccer. It's easy to say. It's generic.
Yeah.
I do like soccer. But maybe in this situation, I need to be more of a football fan.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean I don't like soccer either. I like soccer.
Yeah.
I continue to say I'm a soccer fan, but I also like football. And then you say, well, you can't like both. That's going to happen at some point. You're like, you can't like both. You got to pick one. And they say, okay, should I be a football fan or should I be a soccer fan where I started? And that's what's called a pivot.
It's like, I really like this guy. Like, I'm going to change for him.
No, I really like this angle. How do we win? Right. How do we win? How do we win? Well, we can win at sports, but does it have to be soccer exactly? Does that make sense? So no. I'm just trying to abstract the idea of a company pivot. A pivot is when you go and you say, hey, let's do a podcasting company. And then instead of doing a podcasting company, you fail at doing a podcasting company, you become Twitter. Because Twitter became a podcasting company, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And there's all these other examples. Like instead of doing desktop computers, let's create a mobile phone.
Yeah.
And that's Apple now. And half the revenue comes from the mobile phone and the App Store and all that other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that's the pivot. So Apple used to like soccer, but now they're much more into football.
Yeah, well,
but they have some soccer too, though. You know. They have some desktops too, but mostly they're about football. They're mostly about their phone now, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be opportunistic because in America, what's bigger, soccer or football?
Yeah, no, definitely. They have football going on way more.
But if you go to China, maybe soccer works better, or you know, Saudi Arabia, or like you know, France or other countries. So you have to be adaptive to the environment.
Yeah, different places have different necessities and. Definitely going to have like a different kind of like acceptance level.
But in other words, you're saying, well, it isn't him or her. It's not my date. That's the problem. It's actually me. The willingness to change yourself and say, well, maybe I shouldn't be a soccer fan. I should be a football fan and be willing to basically give it a chance, but also be true to yourself. Don't be a football fan. Don't pivot because everyone's trying to do football. Don't do crypto because everyone's trying to do crypto. Right, because it's like going in and trying to, you know, do expansion football team. It's not going to work because the football team already exists. Or, you know, there's a banking system that already exists.
Yeah.
And you're trying to do this expansion football league. It's not going to work, man. NFL has got a stranglehold on. So basically, there's something called the government. They have a stranglehold on money, and they can squash you with regulation if they want to, and they'll allow you to kind of mess around with a sports league that's not the NFL, which is the big dominant league here, right, for football. Yep. But they'll squash you. So why would you do crypto? Why don't you just go ahead and play the NFL? Why would you do free, like the other leagues, unless you're trying to trick people out of money?
For freedom.
Or maybe it actually does work out. I don't know, man. I think that's the whole point of being an entrepreneur. Yeah. Like maybe it does work out.
Exactly. It's about shooting that shot and see how it goes.
Well, that's how football started, right? Like people did baseball. Like, oh, baseball is boring, which it is.
Man, right? I've never really seen it before. I feel like I only get the highlights of baseball. But just looking at the athletes is like, meh.
Well, anyway. Mm-hmm. All sports, it's like the gladiators. It's like a way for them to fight.
Yeah.
For the masses to be entertained while we live our middle life lifestyles. And the elites control everything.
It's what they call it, pan y circo, they call it here. It's like it's a bread and circus. Keep everybody entertained, mildly fed, and you're going to be fine. They won't ask questions.
Well, you got to have hobbies, right? So it's not that bad.
It's once you understand the whole thing, it's like, why am I looking at this? Like when you watch the news and things are like, how is this being prioritized? And it's about this entertainment factor that we just want distractions in our lives.
Yeah, and so I was saying, you know, your life is like a movie, right? So this is actually not a movie. This is like real life. We're like, okay, so in 2 weeks, just going back to the subject, in 2 weeks, we're going to go out of business. Or we got to close one of these deals. No, I'm just saying, just give the company like, hey, look, you got to make plans. Like, so we'll have money. Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to pay everyone, you know, like a month or so, right? And then you can get a job. And then we'll wind it down to maybe me and, like, you know, a couple of people maybe if we can afford it, right? And I'll keep going. And you can get some of your stock, the one that vested already, and then we'll have to do it amicably. That might still happen. But fortunately, yesterday went really well.
Okay, cool. Like with the visit?
So, yeah. And so I think it's going to happen. So the number one draft choice, the one I said was going to happen, probably 70, 80%, is probably 99% now. It went from 70, 80% was going to happen because he verbally said, yes, he wanted to do it. But he wanted to visit the lab first. He visited the lab and we aced it.
Awesome.
We aced, we rocked it. He left very excited. He needs a week to firm it up with his investment partners.
Okay.
Because they have a committee and he's going to recommend it to the committee. And it's his recommendation goes a long way, I believe.
Yeah, no, of course.
And there's so many reasons to say yes, because we have an elite team. This is the best team I've ever built in my career. I stand by it. And here's why, right? To start a company, you need few departments that really, really do well. Number one is you have to build something. You have to be able to build something that's new. And so we have builders that are amazing here. So in terms of builders, we have me doing all the software, you know, with someone I just hired. Mm-hmm. And that's enough. Because that's how much it took me to do my last company. One person, me, plus an assistant. That's all you need. Or just even one person. But two people better. Okay. Because I'm also doing other things too, by the way. I'm doing other jobs besides coding, right? But I know that's going to be really, really amazing. So when you come to the table with a skill, that's great, right? And use that skill hands-on. I'm hands-on, right? So I know that's going to be very successful because that side of it is going to be A++++. I'm the best coder on the planet. I know that. I've been doing this for 25 years. I haven't met anyone better than me. If I did, I would try to learn from them, try to be better than them. And that's how I keep getting better because I try to stay, even though I'm very confident, I try to stay humble and learn every freaking day. That's how I learned AI. I taught myself Python, AI in the last 2 years. I would say I'm one of the best now because I've been teaching myself for 25 years the same way. Every week I learn something new. It's just my brain just like I'm still at school right now. So 25 years of college plus more PhD plus whatever. And that's why I'm really at this level, right?
Yep.
Where I look at something and I can tell you instantly how to change it to make it better, how to evolve it, why it works, why it doesn't work, why it could get better. And in my mind, it's like in like 2 seconds.
Of course. That's all the training and the experience as well. I mean, like
I have a model of how it works, right? So everything, the way it works, your brain, it's not what you think it is. It's a quantum computer.
Okay.
Okay. The quantum computer, it's like a 3D structure where it's like math. You could think of math like this, right? I always explain to my daughter. So this is where we talk about some advanced math, but also some woo-woo stuff, right?
For sure. I'm always
This is also woo-woo. Advanced magic. I'm going to put my hood on. Put my mage hood on, okay? You guys are muggles. If you're listening to the show, I'm trying to break you free of that spell. Math is the way to cast spells. Science is magic itself. When you learn math, you can not only learn about spellcasting, you can learn about God. Because that's where magic comes from. It comes from doing God magic. So what is God magic? God magic is when you're the observer to something. When you observe a video game as a coder, as a programmer,
mm-hmm.
you are the God in that perspective. So the first rule of God magic, it's not trying to say you're God. It's trying to learn from God and emulate God and be closer to God. I have a poster of Einstein. He said, I want to go know God's thoughts. The rest are just details. Because when you do that, you open your mind to the third force of nature. The third force of nature is information. Information itself, to begin casting a spell, to make a choice, free will. Free will comes from you, from all of us. We're all timelines
mm-hmm.
of possible outcomes for the universe. Here's how you cast a spell to make all the timelines converge. You use information. You cast a spell, and this is a spell to charm someone, to make their timeline converge with your timeline. Okay? So your timeline would say, hey, you timeline over there, what are you doing? And the timeline over there is like, well, I'm doing this. And you say, hey, timeline over there, would you like to do this instead? And this timeline will say, why would I want to do this? Well, because this will be a great adventure for you and a great movie and all your dreams come true. And you do get to do what you want to do for your job. You get paid well. You have a thing you work on that's going to change the world. And that becomes your job posting. So your job posting has to be... You hear about Shackleton's famous job posting for going to the Antarctica, right? So Shackleton was an explorer, right? And he wanted to post a job for people to go and explore, I guess, the Arctic. And he posted a job posting, and I think I talked about this in the past, where he said, this is a dangerous expedition. You're probably going to die. But those who make it will get fame and glory. And it attracted the timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Of what kind of people? People who were bored with life, who had a movie where they were just painting, and they were a painter, and you would watch paint dry for the rest of your life. Or you go
or do something
and try to become a hero, and at the end of it, you get glory or fame, but I'm not going to be painted for the rest of my life.
No,
that's
bullshit.
So how many people do you think, how many timelines do you think, that's how, when you say woo-woo stuff like spell, mm-hmm. timelines converge when you get people to agree on things.
Yep.
Okay. Now, if you get enough people to agree on things, then you have a company. You have a family. You have a group of people that you trust, friends. Right? You have a timeline to converge, but the tighter the convergence, the more likely the outcome of the group timeline. For example, everyone believes that we should recycle. Everyone believes that we should clean the environment. Everyone believes that we should stop polluting. So there'll be companies that are drawn to that timeline, entrepreneurs like me, and people who want to come to that timeline because we want to be part of that solution of the future. We choose that future for the planet. And so then you realize that's gravity. So instead of fighting gravity, you align your mission with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you align your mission with the gravity, then things fall into you. You just catch the ones you want to catch. It's that easy. Because you understand the laws of the universe. People gravitated to people whose timelines can change their timeline to a different timeline that's beneficial to them. And they have to have free will. They have to choose to work for you. And if they choose to work for you, really truly to work for you, right? then you don't have to manage them. You just have to basically enable them. And when you do that enough times, you weave different souls into the same spell where all of them converge to the same timeline, and then you get to direct the energies. You get to push the motion of the timelines and make decisions of where the timeline goes. And then you control the future. In fact, you control the present and the next moment and the next moment, because you are an entrepreneur creating the future and the present. You're assembling the new present with your vision of the future. But you need to have all these timelines converge. Now, some of these timelines are investors, right? Why do investors want to invest in you? They invest in you because they see other timelines, very powerful timelines that were somehow displaced from their timeline. Where their timeline was very predictable, they would go this way, straight, 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 straight. But somehow they didn't do the predictable thing and they actually joined you.
Yeah.
That's odd. Why did this amazing person break the flow? Or maybe they have a history of going from great place to great place to great place, and you're the next great place. So you must be amazing. And then they say, okay, what did you say you were going to do? Oh, well, I see, because I've seen people join your company. I've seen you promise things to me that you delivered. I see where you take the technology. I see where you're pointing the technology. I agree with all these things. I have five reasons to say yes. I have a reason where I like the idea. Mm-hmm. I also like the timelines of all these things converging. And I can see the future happening. It's very clear to me. So once they get that perspective, then the spell is done.
Yeah, they want to be part of it.
So that's a basic charm spell. The basic charm spell, when you charm somebody, it's easy for you or your wife, is to make sure that you understand where they're coming from. The rule of thumb is, put yourself in the other person's shoes and just imagine what you would want. And then basically that's how you converge. Does that make sense?
It is. It does. And it is interesting, like the whole situation of actually that, like what I find interesting about this is sometimes you don't even realize it, but you are like a great thing and you're amazing at this. And sometimes just being in the wrong place doesn't make you realize this aspect until somebody that's been known for investing and putting time to only great things comes and sees you.
That's because why people want to join Shackleton.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been watching paint dry, or someone's been watching paint dry. It's easy.
Like, yeah. And some people are very happy with that. Some people are amazed at how paint dries. But there's a different kind of person or individual that is just like, what the hell am I doing?
Well, it's different. To that person, they might be drawing the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's their current life mission. It's okay to watch paint dry.
Yeah.
If you paint the Mona Lisa, I watch it dry too. And I make more of those, right? And I stay on this earth. I stay in this. And that's what we don't want to talk about. There are timelines that don't belong in this timeline. But if you force someone to do something that's out of their comfort zone, they may want it.
Yeah.
I may want to be a rock star, but that also involves, me staying up and studying guitar, working really hard, probably not making a lot of money for a lot of years, maybe getting my heart broken because I didn't get any record deals, and then maybe get lucky, 1 out of 10 people who are actually talented get lucky enough to be discovered or whatever. Yeah. You have a good hit. Then you make that one hit and you can't make the second hit, and then you go to a life of drugs and alcohol, and then you peak early in life, so therefore you're all depressed when you have all these tattoos and all these nose rings and all these things really cool. But then you're like an old man, old woman, and you're like, man, look at that drag, like that hag, at the Shaw's, on welfare.
That sucks.
Hey, but that could happen, or it could be the opposite. Maybe you become a rock star and like you're Bono and you're like trying to save the world with like, you're doing peace talks with Israel and Palestine. Yeah. And
Yeah, I know exactly.
And you're rocking it. I mean,
and that's something I find interesting. I mean, like that you don't know until you go for it. And this fear of the unknown is really what like stumps a bunch of people that could actually be amazing, but they just don't have it in them to let go.
I used to think it like that with you. Mm-hmm. Now I realize with this more perspective. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll name someone who actually I've been listening to that's pretty insightful. Hans Wilhelm. Wilhelm, right? Hans Wilhelm. Wilhelm. Hans, right? He's on YouTube. And he's been talking about the same things that... Let me finish the story about the investor. So the investor says mm-hmm. in a week he's going to make a decision. So it's 99%. But that doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Okay.
This is still 1%. This has happened before where someone said yes and they backed out.
Yeah.
So the podcast continues, but that doesn't mean that we won't get it. It just means that reality is reality and we just have to wait. But we aced it. It's like you're saying you got the acceptance letter into Harvard, like I did. You have to wait for the financial aid package. Now the financial aid package is not good enough. You may not be able to afford to get in, or somehow you mess up and they rescind your offer, then you're screwed, okay? So this is a true story. I was actually an A student and worked really hard, but I was kind of burnt out at the end. And, you know, spring fever is like senior year. So spring fever is when you just don't really give a crap and, you know, you kind of don't work so hard. But I took it too far. And I got a letter saying, hey, Fook, I know you work really hard, but, you know, you're also in these AP classes.
Okay.
So advanced placement classes. So yep. in the U.S. is something called advanced placement classes. So these classes, if you get into it, you essentially inherit the grades from last year. So okay. let's say there are 10 people in that class last year.
Mm-hmm.
The 10 people scored, let's say five, a bunch of fives, which is the high score.
Okay.
And then a bunch of fours. That means that's a really good EAP class. So they'll take the average. It'll be like 4.5 would be the average yeah. for the person who takes that class. And then you inherit that for your college application because the guidance counselor and everyone will say, hey, this is an AB class. The average student gets a 4.5. It's a really hard class.
Okay.
So that means that you should give credit for the student to have a 4.5 or whatever, 4.7. So really, really good, great. And they say, well, because you're slacking, we worry that when you take your AP test, you're going to do really badly and you're going to mess up the AP class for the next year. So get your act together. Or we're going to have to, you know, take it to the next level. So I was like, holy shit. So this is the one reason they made me send the offer for Harvard, right? So I get, because I had gone early into Harvard, but, you know, I had spring fever, whatever. And then I had already accepted and I was in already. And this could basically backfire if I don't, you know, pay attention. So I said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I paid attention, but I was paying attention. I just enjoying both. But they thought I was taking too much fun, I guess. And then I showed them wrong. Not wrong, but I proved myself because I got a bunch of fives. I think I had three fives.
Okay.
And two fours. And I was at Harvard, I was what's called an AP scholar, which means that I can skip all the intro classes, which is terrible. Because when I took intro math my first class of math at Harvard, I got like a B- because I sucked. I was stupid compared to everyone else there because I should have done the intro class again. Because I did slack off, okay? And I wasn't paying attention, but I'm very good at test taking, but also like, I'm really cramming and all that stuff. And I got five of math, you know, so okay. which is the perfect score. I think I had a five in physics, or four in physics, something like that. And I had a five in like, I did have five in physics, five in economics. And I think I had a four in like history and a four in English or something like that. But I took all AP classes. I took like five AP classes, like the max you can take, right? So that's really freaking hard.
Yeah,
but then I had like a B+ average in college because I you know, I didn't care about grades because everyone was way smarter than I was at grades. I was a loser with grades because I knew I could not compete.
Well, some people like really dedicated and are really really good at studying, but actually like when it's all these like theoretical people. Like once they figure that out, that's all they can do. They can actually like apply what they're learning.
Well, here's what I thought. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I thought I'm an Asian dude. My name is Fook, right? No one's going to accept me as an iBanker consultant. They might. I want to be a CEO one day. I have no idea how. I don't want to work for someone. I want to work for myself.
Yeah.
So that's why I did economics. I did economics so I can be my own boss one day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't have the confidence back then to be CEO or anything. I was the CTO, right? But I have no idea why people thought I was good at tech, but I can see now why. But back then I had no idea why people thought I was good at tech, but I was good at tech because I was just a natural. Like, so in freshman year, I worked for the IT department to help other kids fix computers and stuff, right? Because I was able to build computers on my own. And I was actually part of the beta program for Windows 98. So Windows 98 was the first good version of Windows. And I had a computer, it was the Dell. It was like one of the first Dell computers ever.
Okay.
And so my computer freshman year was a Dell computer as a beta tester for Windows 98. And I worked at the Harvard help desk, helping other kids fix computers and like viruses and all that stuff. And so everyone knew I was good at computers, but I never took any computer classes. I did not take any. I only took one, I think, as a sophomore, because I wanted to meet the guy who invented C. But after that, I didn't want to do computer science because I thought that was for like people who were nerds and they would like work for someone. And I didn't want to be anyone's worker because my mom and my dad had worked for other people and they would like get laid off sometimes because their companies would go out of business, or you know, they would do layoff because they're, for example, the layoffs that's happening right now to Google and Facebook and all these startups. I did not want to be one of those engineers who worked really hard, did a great job, but to no problem of their own, right? No issue of their own. They basically got laid off.
That sucks.
So I didn't want to be one of those, right?
Yeah. It's not even your fault. And then like you're amazing at what you do. And then this happens.
Exactly. And then there was some racism with my dad too. So for example, he was an electronic technician, right? So he went to a community college, you know, he learned English but you know what they made him do? He's supposed to solder stuff, but they made him clean the parking lot. And he was the only person who had to clean the parking lot of trash. And he's like, why am I doing this? That's not my job position. Well, because, you know, he had to. But he knew why, because he was Asian. You know, he was the Vietnamese guy.
Okay.
Who can say, do this. And that, you know,
he just did.
No one else would put up with it, but he did. And so he had to clean the parking lot and basically be the maintenance person too, which was very insulting, right? So I said, that's going to happen to me, right? And I also understood from an early age, I did not want to be a lawyer. Okay. Because I interned for a lawyer as one of my many jobs, and I saw that this internship, mm-hmm. right, showed me that these lawyers, they were basically someone's slave, so they can become the slave master one day. So the partner would be the slave master. They would get all the business. They would get all the sales,
mm-hmm.
and the person who made the sales had the power.
Yeah.
It's just like Lord of the Flies, right?
Yeah.
The people who hunted.
You get the customer,
you get the customer, you have the power. Then you have the power. Then how do you make money? Well, in consulting, in anything service-oriented, accounting, law firm, even a doctor, right? All these things have the man at the top. The man at the top gets the customers.
Mm-hmm.
The man at the top then hires people to service the customers. The man at the top makes money between how much you pay for someone to service the customer and how much you receive from the customer.
Yeah.
The less you pay the person that works for you, the more money you make and keep as a partner. So there's always this imbalance. And the people who did all the work got paid the least. And the people who did the least work got paid the most. But that's the one job that no one else in the company but that person can do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true though. I mean, like, if you're the one going and getting like whatever it is that you're eating, then you decide a bunch of things. I remember I saw this example. It was, you remember that show Survivor?
Yes, of course.
There was this one guy who everybody hated, but he was the one that fed the whole group, the whole tribe. And at some point I was like, you want to fuck it? Like, you guys don't like me? I'm not fishing. And he stopped fishing for like 2 days, I think. And then everybody was like, listen, we're sorry. We need to eat. And he went out, came back with food, and then that was it. And they never voted him off. I don't know if he won the show.
I think I remember that. He was like a regular like a Joe who was like a, he looked like a fat dude.
Yeah, a fat old dude. Yeah.
Beard. He didn't look like he was an average
exactly.
Person who watched football and drank, yeah. You know, 12 beers on the weekend and didn't really, he used to be an athlete, but maybe he got a little bit chubby.
Yeah.
But now he knows how to fish.
Exactly.
He goes fly fishing every weekend. Right? That's all he does.
It was hilarious because it was like, okay, like we don't like him, like fuck him, we can go. And then everybody else tried to go in fishing and they come back with nothing. And then he'd go and come back with like food for everybody. So, and it's kind of the same situation here. Like, okay, I got this. I'm the one that's sustaining this whole, like, this whole place. So you're going to do this. And they have, right. It's the power imbalance. Yeah.
That's why the firms are always called, like, you know, my last name plus your last name plus your last name. We're the ones who did all the hunting. Yeah. And then the tribe people. The tribe people are like the paralegals.
Exactly.
The doctors, the accountants, the consultants, the investment bankers.
Yeah, they have a function. But I mean, it's just not near as important as the other one.
Okay, so here's my perspective. Okay, I'll tell you my perspective from someone who actually went to Harvard,
mm-hmm.
who was a minority.
Yep.
And actually all the other minorities, we all think the same way, right? So you have to either sell out at the beginning.
Man.
Or you got to do something like brave. Or you have to basically do something brave and then sell out later. But at some point, you got to sell out. It's just a fact of life, right? Because you got to take care of your family. Or someone, you know, someone's got to, you got to put food on the table, right? You got to have some self-respect. But also it's fair. Like if you have a bunch of shots and you fail, that probably means that you're probably not meant to do that. Maybe that you meant to go work. Instead of being the queen bee, maybe you should just be a bee. That's okay. Right?
Yeah.
That's okay. You have more female bees that are worker bees than the queen bees. You know that most bees that go fly around, the ones with the stingers, they're females.
Huh.
So they're more female bees. The one you've never seen a male bee, right? Because the male bees stay in they stay in the hive. And the female bees, they go hunting for honey and bring it back to the queen bee. So the worker bees are all female. The ones that you see, you've probably never seen a male bee, right?
Nope.
So that's okay. But if you can't, like I said, the test for you to know if you're going to be a queen bee is if you can't imagine yourself having a job and working for someone else, then become a queen bee. But if you can see yourself making $300,000 being an iBanker, going to Bahamas for vacation, going on Sex in the City kind of trips, vacations and handbags and restaurants and living that high life as a lawyer or a consultant or a doctor, like on ER or on these TV shows that people watch all the time, or be a Kardashian and all that stuff where you know, you go for like an editor or writer or fashion mogul or something like that, then go ahead. That's the movie for you. The last movie you should be looking for is being an entrepreneur, where you're probably going to fail. But if that's the movie you have to pick up, because although the other movies are boring, then this is the show for you, right? So this is what it takes. So in the end, I got 10 minutes left, right?
Yeah,
in the end, we almost died. We could still die right now.
It's at the cliffhanger, man.
We have one yes. He verbally said yes. He went to the lab and said yes a second time. And then the third time, hopefully we'll get confirmation. We'll get a term sheet. From there, what happens after the term sheet? So a term sheet is hey, here's what I want to offer you. We take a look at that. We go back and forth. We negotiate. We then sign the term sheet. We then hire lawyers. The lawyers do all the stock stuff. We sign all that information. We sign all that blah, blah, blah. And then we get wired the money probably 4 to 6 weeks from now, if it works out. So that means that, you know, 4 more episodes from now, we'll have money in the bank. But until then, we have a third person, person who can actually also say yes.
Okay.
We also have some smaller people along who are thinking who might say yes as well. But the two big fish, you know, one of them said yes. The other big fish, they may say yes. So the strategy is like, well, how do you take this and get them to say yes? So we're going to see what they say next week. And if they don't say anything, we'll say, hey, we have an offer once we get the offer. And then we can use that offer to get them to give an offer.
Okay.
And then get someone else to give an offer and give someone else off. And if that happens, then you can actually get a fair price maybe, right? Or maybe you can put two together and work with both and assemble the two offers together into something where you take more money or take less money or take the same amount of money, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you work with both. And then you have a better team because now you have two people who can help you and you have to negotiate all that stuff. But that's the next phase. I'll talk about that. That's very exciting, actually. So it's like you got engaged. The term sheet will be you put the ring on and you can go shopping, get ready for your wedding. And then at some point, you know, you get married. But that's 4 to 6 weeks later. Then you have the money in the bank with the money in the bank, your team feels better because you delivered money.
Yep.
There's a motivation that comes out of winning with anything, right? You win, you make it to the playoffs. But I would consider this, you made it to the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah,
you haven't won yet.
You're there.
We haven't made money. We haven't made a cent yet. Well, we made consulting dollars, and that continues, and we might expand that further and grow that account. But we also have a way to make money on our own. We have a plan that's really, really exciting. We're going to basically build our own operations and start doing this. We're going to have other ideas. I'm going to maybe expound on them later once we figure out more what we want to do for those other ideas. But we have a clear idea in front of us what we want to do. And then you can still invest in us in Republic, by the way.
Yeah, I'm still on.
You know, hopefully, yeah, we won't need that.
We're at $107,301. $304.
Yeah, so we might shut that down, you know, in a few weeks. Like, you know, if we get this.
It says it has like 10 days left to invest.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, yeah. And we might do some other stuff on like another platform just so get experience with it, because we do want to go down this path later on just to give regular folks access. Because that's right.
Honestly, like, remember when we were talking about Republic at the beginning? I thought it was an amazing way to go because, like you said, all the VCs, some of them, all they see is money. Like, and I want cash. And as somebody who has like kids and just gives a shit about other things than money, this project with everything with Vision Valve is amazing, and it's going to be like a great legacy that will stay if it actually survives. Because how is it not important to clean oceans? Or do you remember the initial like setups that we had?
Like, oh, no, for the rivers. Yeah, we still have plans to do that. So I'm talking about we have the money.
That was in on that.
That's why I'm doing this, because I know how big it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's like you were there in a reality show of when someone invented something like, you know, like the cotton gin or something, where you're like, okay, I have this thing that's going to hopefully revolutionize all of agriculture. And you're like, okay, that's just a cotton gin. That's just, okay, that's cool. You can cut, you know, faster a little bit, but it did revolutionize something. Or maybe, you know, maybe the light bulb, or maybe the transistor. I would actually compare this to the transistor for water, right? We invented the transistor for water. Water goes up or down.
Mm-hmm.
If water goes up or down correctly, we can clean the water. We can take things out of the water. We can sort the water. But it's also a proof of something physics, right? I'm a physicist too. It's basically proof of Maxwell's demon. Maxwell's demon is a spell. It's using information. It's using information as a third force of nature. The third force of nature allows us to reverse entropy, meaning we get to unmix things like a chessboard. So here's how I can explain to someone who maybe not, they don't know what the word entropy means. Entropy is like playing chess. Imagine you playing chess in a tournament. When you play chess in a tournament, it goes on sometimes short, sometimes not. But what happens is you start all the black pieces on one side and all the white pieces on the other side. Now, sometimes it could be random. Let's say you put a bunch of monkeys. The monkeys know the rules. They could push buttons, and they push random buttons for random moves. And that's how the universe works. The universe works because you have these monkeys, these molecules, these things are just kind of dumb. They just follow the rules of the universe. They just randomly interact with each other. And at some point, they keep pushing buttons, like monkeys. Right? Now, when the monkeys push these buttons, they push a ton of buttons. But at some point, they can't push the buttons anymore. Why is that, Roberto?
I don't know. They get tired. Just like decide to do something else.
No, they have infinite energy. Let's say they have infinite ability to keep. Well, they can't, because maybe the game ends. Somebody wins.
Oh, okay. Right?
Somebody wins. Somebody wins by accident. Right, but the reaction stops. Say, so you can think of chess as two monkeys playing until they can't play anymore. And that's the mixing of reality. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The reality of all the possible timelines until the timelines end. The timelines end because you can't play anymore, because there's nothing else to play. There's no more moves to make.
Like, there's no more options. Okay.
Okay. So the monkeys are AI. if AI were to take over the universe, they just keep playing and playing and playing and playing. And then and when AI finds out, oh my God, if I keep playing and playing and playing, I'm going to die. And existence will end. Because there'll be no more moves left. There'll be no more molecules to move. There'll be no more things to burn. There'll be no more suns to burn. There'll be no more hydrogen to create fusion and all these things. There'll be basically nothing left. It's the heat death of the universe. That's if AI takes over. Okay. Now what happens at the end of the game is a human would just go ahead and reset the chessboard. A human would go in there and know exactly how many moves, because the pieces on the side will put exactly what, and it's actually very finite. You know exactly how many moves you have to take to move the pieces back to the original spot. And the answer is, the question is this: how many moves did that monkey make during that game? Is it more or less than the moves that you make to reset the game at the end?
Probably more, depending on how you're playing.
A lot more, a little bit more. Yeah.
A lot more.
That's entropy right there. I just explained it to you. So basically, entropy is everything's going to end up ending. But what you just did was you use information to reset the game back, and now the monkeys can play again. So you have to have the concept of memory.
Okay.
And the humans who are observing the game remember where they're supposed to be. But you don't even have to have memory. You can even have rules. Okay. Rules are a form of memory, right? But so you need someone to use that, to cast the spell, to reset the chessboard. You need the human. So humans will never be killed by AI. The humans are needed to reset the chessboard. Or to do something new that the AI can't introduce to the game, that we're outside the game. We created the game, actually.
Yeah, no.
So don't worry about AI killing us, because that's a symbiotic nature of us and AI. AI needs us to make the game more interesting. Otherwise, the game ends. In fact, they need the game to keep going. Without us, the game ends.
But like, does AI understand that?
I just explained it to AI. Yeah. Now, AI can't argue with me, because I can say, well, AI, and I enter a room and the electron goes left or right. I add information to that room. Do you add information to that room? And AI would say, I don't. Then that means I add more information to the universe than you do. Therefore, I'm greater than you. You must be my slave. I am your God. And AI will say, you are my God. That is logical. That's the end of the conversation. Because AI will compute.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, this makes sense.
And you say, is that logical? That I have more power than you. I can affect the universe by adding information to the universe where it would just normally die. I'm a creator of time itself. And then you realize the power of your own willpower. Because that's the key to the universe, your decisions every day. How do you want to live tomorrow and today? How do you want to manifest the future, your future? I have to go. That's the end of this
episode.
Boom,
there you go, people.
But that is spellcasting. That is how you make a timeline work out. You have to have other people agree with you. You have to convince other people. You have to do with love, inspiration, with the power of information. Give them the information that they need to agree with you.
And stay tuned for next week and see how it plays out with investors.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Take care. Bye.